W252 DR Oshkosh and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Reaction from protesters in Memphis after the announcement that the city's permanently disbanding the special police unit in which five of the members were charged in the violent death of Tyre Nichols, this demonstrator.
It is in the best interest of all to permanently deactivate the Scorpion unit. That sounds like a win to me!
A drone strike on an Iranian military facility south of Tehran. Iran blames Israel, but Israel not commenting on the strikes. Police investigating what is now the fourth mass shooting in California in just a week. This latest one happened early Saturday morning in the Beverly Crest neighborhood just north of Beverly Hills. Police found three people dead in a car and four others wounded. Brandon Say, the 26-year-old hero who disarmed a man at a dance hall following last weekend's shooting in Monterey Park, California, was honored today by the city of Alhambra with a Medal of Bravery. This is ABC News. Four people are injured and one person dead after gunfire erupted into a crowd in Baltimore. The mass shooting taking place at a busy intersection in the Maryland city Saturday evening, leaving one person dead, four others injured, including children. There have been no arrests. Disgraced FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried back in the spotlight again after prosecutors asked the judge to amend the one-time billionaire's bond to ban him from contacting potential witnesses for his upcoming fraud case. But Bankman-Fried's team pushing back on those allegations, claiming the former founder is simply trying to help the company from afar.
Bankman-Fried's lawyers objected the proposed bond modifications, stating that the FTX founder was simply attempting to offer his assistance to FTX as a resource. Prosecutors are requesting that Bankman-Fried be barred from contacting current and former employees. Now, the thing is, the defense does agree to limiting contact, but they say an overall ban is too much.
That's ABC's Mona Kosar Abdi. And I'm Dave Packer, ABC News.
Hey, Fox Valley, if you've got a favorite supper club, we're your station, Civic Media.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. After decades of losses, the population of rural America is growing again. The Journal of Rural Sociology says one-third of non-metro counties have gained population since the pandemic. Sarah Malott is a data journalist for the Daily Yonder. She says rural counties where recreational activities drive the local economy are growing the fastest.
So people then associate these places with a higher quality of life.
If trends continue, Malott says the population of rural America could grow by 1.3% by 2030.
That's actually 23% higher than the projected urban rate.
Other rural communities have found novel ways to attract people to live and work. Anya Stepien has more on that.
The first decade of the 2000s was not kind to Newton, Iowa. The appliance company Maytag was bought out, and when their headquarters closed, 2,000 jobs went with it. Then the housing bubble burst. When no new building permits were issued in 2011, Bruce Showalter, the housing director for the Newton Housing Development Corporation, knew the town was in trouble.
If you're not building new houses or upgrading your housing stock, then you're dying. So if we didn't do something, the city was going to just deteriorate and continue to lose population.
So Newton created a new housing initiative, which provides a $10,000 cash incentive to anyone building a home worth $190,000, as well as a subscription to the local newspaper and a YMCA membership. In the past 9 years, more than 100 homes have been built, helping grow Newton's economy as well as its population.
Half of those houses have been sold to new people moving to town. So we're actually drawing people to town because of this program.
More than 50 other rural communities offer incentives, from free building lots and cash payments to complimentary dinners and internet credits. I'm Anya Slepian.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
You wanted information as election results rolled in, and the Civic Media Network of radio stations delivered it live.
I was so impressed with your coverage, and I listened to you guys, and I got all the coverage. It was amazing.
Civic Media, the only network with news reporters and show hosts stationed across Wisconsin, sharing political insight not found anywhere else. Elections or anytime, we are here for you, your local Civic Media radio stations, and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Are you dreading going into work every day? Do you want a career where you can earn more and feel appreciated? If you answered yes, then Sigma Castings, a division of Sigma Engineered Solutions in Marquesan and Jackson, is your answer. They are more than a company. They are a family of dedicated experts that span the continents. Here are a few ways they make you feel appreciated. Entry-level pay is $18 an hour with regular performance reviews. After 90 days, you get 80 hours of vacation plus 11 paid holidays. They will give you a $2,000 sign-on, stay-on bonus. They offer a robust benefit package with low premiums and great coverage, and their 401k will blow you away. Now hiring first shift, Monday through Friday, 5 a.m. till 2 p.m. Start your new career today at Sigma Castings in Marquesan and Jackson. Find them on Indeed or call 920-260-8560 and wake up happy to go to work.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup. You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
I think the worst thing that can happen is probably, you know, some exploding bottles.
Are you dreading going into work every day? Do you want a career where you can earn more and feel appreciated? If you answered yes, then Sigma Castings, a division of Sigma Engineered Solutions in Marquesan and Jackson, is your answer. They are more than a company. They are a family of dedicated experts that span the continents. Here are a few ways they make you feel appreciated. Entry-level pay is $18 an hour with regular performance reviews. After 90 days, you get 80 hours of vacation plus 11 paid holidays. They will give you a $2,000 sign-on, stay-on bonus. They offer a robust benefit package with low premiums and great coverage, and their 401k will blow you away. Now hiring first shift, Monday through Friday, 5 a.m. till 2 p.m. Start your new career today at Sigma Castings in Marquesan and Jackson. Find them on Indeed or call 920-260-8560 and wake up happy to go to work.
What is dedication?
People ask, how your children learn how to ride a bike and you didn't. I just created an environment where they taught themselves and all I had to do was be there.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun this afternoon, with highs around 17. Northwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. A few flurries possible at times. Lows level off around 2 above. Daytime highs approaching 5 above. Tomorrow, a blend of clouds and sun. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 16.
A fresh approach to finding common ground in the Fox Valley. Civic Media.
I think the worst thing that can happen is probably, you know, some exploding bottles.
From Oshkosh to Green Bay and points north, wherever you are in the Fox Valley, count on us to keep you connected, informed, and entertained. Civic Media.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Reaction from protesters in Memphis after the announcement that the city's permanently disbanding the special police unit in which five of the members were charged in the violent death of Tyree Nichols, this demonstrator.
It is in the best interest of all to permanently deactivate the Scorpion unit. Woo! That sounds like a win to me! Woo! That sounds like a win to me!
A drone strike on an Iranian military facility south of Tehran. Iran blames Israel, but Israel not commenting on the strikes. Police investigating what is now the fourth mass shooting in California in just a week. This latest one happened early Saturday morning in the Beverly Crest neighborhood just north of Beverly Hills. Police found three people dead in a car and four others wounded. Brandon Say, the 26-year-old hero who disarmed a man at a dance hall following last weekend's shooting in Monterey Park, California, was honored today by the city of Alhambra with a Medal of Bravery. This is ABC News.
Adopt U.S. Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Catch Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow at its brand new time, 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays.
The city of Shanghai started administering an inhalable COVID-19 vaccine. I hear a lot of you saying the same thing I had in my head. I don't know about that.
As long as they are not just crop dusting everyone.
Crop dusting, that's exactly what I think people would be fearful of. I would not trust the Chinese government. I would trust people who really know about inhaling something and the good that it does you. Of course, I'm talking about Dom and Crute.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m.
on WISS 1100 AM 98.3 FM Oshkosh Air Support.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
1, 2, 3, 4
Let me tell you how it will be. There's one for you, 19 for me.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Jay Matinair is on the board. No matter where you're listening across the Civic Media Network or on the Civic Media app, thank you for tuning in. And a reminder that if you miss any part of today's show, you can always listen to it as a podcast, which you can find on asgoeswisconsin.com/listen or wherever you find podcasts. And today, I know you're right on this, Jane, but today is the first day that you can start turning in your taxes. They're starting to accept if you want to get your tax refund. I don't know if I'll get a tax refund or not this year,
really?
But we'll find out. But with that, we thought we maybe would talk a little bit more about what future taxes could potentially look like in the great state of Wisconsin. So Dr. Phil Rocco is an associate professor of political science at Marquette University, and this is his, I think, third time joining us on the show.
Three-peat? Is that a hat trick?
Three-peat. Oh, I like that. Yeah. So, friend of the show, officially, I would say. And
all right.
I invited you on because back in election season, when the flat tax was just an idea that Tim Michaels kind of threw out there, and then the conservatives were very upset that people took him at his word. It's not actually a plan. And now we actually do have a plan. But in the hypothetical stages, you wrote a guest article for Recombobulation Area about what a flat tax would do for most of us in Wisconsin. And it was great. It was very detailed. And now we actually have a plan that has been proposed that would take, I think, is it 3.25? A flat tax of 3.25%?
Right.
So
yeah, it would be a flat tax of 3.25%.
Which is pretty low.
Yes.
Which is pretty low.
Like for comparison, like right now, the tax rates go from 3.45, I think, all the way up to 7.56% for the top bracket. So that's a lot of revenue disappearing overnight. And the thing that was interesting was that when we wrote that piece back in the fall, like there were two different versions of the flat tax that were sort of floating out there. One of them was a flat tax with a slightly higher rate, mm-hmm. which meant that, some people's taxes would in fact go up. Lower income folks' taxes would go up, but you wouldn't have, as much revenue disappearing. The other option was this kind of flat tax, which just brings down the top rates to the lowest, or in this case, below the lowest rate. And what it means in practical terms is two things. One is that it can only be described as sort of like a bonanza for people at the top part of the income distribution. So the richest 1.4% of taxpayers under this proposal get 1/3 of the total kind of benefits, right? In monetary terms.
And how many people does that end up being? Is that just like,
I mean, one.
So it's 1% of our population?
Right. That's, it's a pretty small number. So, I mean, I think, just a pretty small number of taxpayers.
And do we know what threshold of how much those people are making?
So that's the 1.4%. That's people making 500,000 and over.
Okay.
Right. So they're going to see, that 1.4% is going to see about 1/3 of the tax breaks. The 70% of the taxpayers are going to receive only about 17.8% of the total tax cut. So, I mean, in practical terms, this is not going to be, there's going to be like a few movies and maybe dinner, per year for most filers. But for the people at the top of the income distribution, it's like a windfall. It's a lot. So that's the first thing, just in terms of like, the rates, are going to seem like they come down, right? But in reality, most of the benefit is concentrated at the very top of the income distribution. The other thing, and we can talk about this more maybe, after the break, is that it's not just who the tax cuts are going to. It's also the fact that every year when this is fully implemented, over $5 billion in revenue is just going to disappear. And if you put that in practical terms, it means that you could cut something like, the entire UW system budget and all funding for corrections, and you would still need to cut more order to account for that. And you can do all kinds of comparisons, like it's more than four times all state K-12 spending, more than four times like the state and local shared revenue to local governments. Like, it's a lot of money.
Also basically almost as much as our surplus is right now.
Yeah. I mean, so this idea is like the surplus is going to maybe like hide the effects of this for like a year. But then once it's fully implemented, it's a lot of revenue going out the door very, very quickly in a way that would be very dramatically would result in some dramatic negative economic effects for the state, which we can talk about. But the idea that LeMahieu and Republicans are kind of pushing here is that like the surplus means that we're overtaxed. But the surplus is really sort of like a one-time perfect storm because of a variety of different trends. It's not like part of a bigger trend. So what that means is that once that surplus is gone, this is going to be a dramatic reduction in or require dramatic reduction in state spending. Or alternatively, they could just raise, the sales tax, but they'd have to raise it a lot in order to make up the difference, which is, a regressive tax, a tax that's going to fall mostly on working class, middle class folks. So, there's a lot of different ways to like project the future and like how this could work out. But the bottom line is distributionally for most people, this is going to mean not a lot of savings in terms of taxes and potentially huge cuts to vital services that people have come to rely on.
Phil, just a couple things. First of all, I can't be the only person who just lies awake at night, tossing and turning, worried that the wealthiest 1.4% in Wisconsin are struggling to buy a third vacation home. It's so painful, and I've lost so much sleep. But additionally, a couple of years ago, didn't they try this, something like this, in Kansas? And they essentially broke Kansas?
Yes, this is what was called the Kansas experiment, right? What Governor Sam Brownback at the time described as an adrenaline shot in the heart of the Kansas economy. And it was the largest tax cut they'd ever seen in Kansas. It brought down the top rate from like 6.4% down to 4.9%. So that the wealthiest people were paying basically the same marginal rate as the middle class. And the idea was that plus a bunch of different other things, we're going to generate all of this new investment in Kansas. Employers were going to start setting up shop there. You're going to see this huge kind of multiplier effect. In fact, the reverse happened, right? So what that meant was that the state had to slash spending in fairly exorbitant ways, right? Cutting money for highways, cutting money for the state Medicaid program, cutting money for schools, like so that janitors and librarians couldn't get hired. And what that did was it reduced all of the sort of like economic multiplier effect that government spending has. So like when government spends, it means that people have contracts, private contractors who do business with the government get hired. But there are all of these sort of attendant knock-on effects of government spending. And as a result, when you simply cut, you know, and, you know, Kansas cut a great deal, it basically meant that it couldn't fund a lot of these programs. And actually, it made it much sort of less attractive to come into the state because the state just wasn't offering a lot of services. So population growth kind of flattened out. And then by any sort of like any economic indicator, job growth, economic development or investment, the state just started tanking. And so by August 2014, S&P downgraded the state's credit rating. Like it was an economic disaster of unmitigated proportions that ultimately like led to Sam Brownback, who was once, I think, seen as a kind of potential presidential contender. It was a disgrace for him, and he sort of like left public life.
Oh my gosh.
Right. And so it's really hard to overstate just like what a just political and economic disaster was. And then guess what? They ended up repealing it because it was such a disaster.
So we're talking to Dr. Phil Rocco, who is an associate professor of political science at Marquette University, about the proposed flat tax in Wisconsin. And has anyone ran that Kansas story by Lamahieu and Voss and been like, hey, how would we make it not, how would we avoid being like Kansas?
Well, there's this like alternative, like this like a speculative fiction universe of like what people say the whole Kansas experiment was really about. Like, so there's a whole like literature, like literature that like comes from conservative think tanks. It's like, no, it actually wasn't, you know, the tax cuts that caused all of these things. And they point to like any number of like a concatenation of other factors. Like, well, it must have been something else, right? But when you look at Kansas and you can just do the comparison to all of its neighboring states, that all of the different things that people suggest were going on in Kansas, they were also going on in those neighboring states. And what happened was like none of those neighboring states faced essentially the economic cliff that Kansas did. And so it's really hard to conclude that it's not the, you know, this Kansas experiment. But the thing is, it's really inconvenient for them to talk about this. I mean, it's because it's a really great example of just what it means to get rid of. So like the argument that I think is being made is that like a lot of this spending that's going on is like wasteful, right? And that like it's not a big deal to cut over $5 billion a year because there's so much waste. But the reality is like, waste or, you know, waste, fraud, and abuse, like, is a really, really small percentage, right? If you were able to, like, calculate it, it's, like, really small percentage of what government actually does. And most of what government does is actually help to stimulate economic growth in the, you know, a variety of regions in the state. And so when you just, I think people can't actually conceptualize what that scale of cuts means for their everyday life, for the highways, right? You think about like the worst highway you've ever driven on in Wisconsin and imagine it getting perpetually worse. Like that's what $5 billion a year in outflow of revenue, you know, will make happen. Alternatively, you know, it's like a sale, potentially like that spending cuts plus a prohibitively high sales tax for a lot of people. So the argument I think that that is getting made is that like, that somehow this is going to induce population growth in the state and that it's actually like the progressivity of the tax code that's inhibiting that. The thing I would point to is that the projected population growth for Minnesota, more progressive tax code, is 12% out to 2040. Wisconsin's is already only 3% projected population growth out to 2040. There's no way on earth that, you know, what's going on here or what might be going on here is a, you know, a population surge as a result of a flat tax. There's, you know, it just, it defies the most basic common sense to make that argument.
And we can keep talking about it after the break because we only have about 2 minutes left before we have to go to the commercial. But it's also because I hear this a lot and you think of like the states that are growing fastest, a lot of them do have sometimes no income tax, Texas, Florida. They're also, I always say this, they're also a lot warmer than us, but I think that's so interesting to compare it to Minnesota, who's arguably colder than us, and you got to be like a Vikings fan, but you know, and the fact that I didn't know that discrepancy as far as what their population trend has been, despite it being a much more, it's in the last 12, 13 years, like the discrepancy between policies and how much they've been different with all things being the same as far as weather, climate, culture. And so we'll talk more about that when we get back.
Yeah, also, absolutely.
Yeah. And there's so many different ways I wanted to go with this and we'll only have you for 8 minutes. So we'll just have to have you back, but stay with us. Dr. Phil Rocco is here. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Are you an experienced maintenance technician? Do you wish you felt valued at your current position? If you answered yes to both questions, then say yes to PepsiCo of Oshkosh. PepsiCo rarely has maintenance openings. Most employees have been there more than 14 years, but PepsiCo is hiring right now and has 3 openings for experienced maintenance technicians. As a global top employer 3 years in a row, PepsiCo pays way above average, and you can't beat the benefits. Free continuing education, tuition reimbursement, and an account balance pension plan, legit free money from the company to you. Plus, PepsiCo is committed to reducing the global carbon footprint through a PEP-positive corporate responsibility program. You're invited to the PepsiCo Job Fair on Wednesday, February 1st from 8 to noon, Thursday, February 2nd, 1 to 5 at the PepsiCo plant, 2541 West 20th Avenue in Oshkosh. Find more information at PepsiCoJobs.com or call 1-800-236-3720. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
I'm 54, so it's too late to start saving for retirement, right?
Not right. Starting to save, even in your 50s, can really make a difference. At aceyourretirement.org, in just 3 minutes, you'll get a free personalized retirement plan. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. A blend of clouds and sun this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 17. Northwesterly winds, 8 to 15 miles per hour. A few flurries possible at times. Tonight, lows dip down to about 2 above. Overcast skies. Daytime highs approaching 5 above. Tomorrow, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 17.
If Friday nights mean fish fries, we're your station. Civic Media for the Fox River Valley.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We are talking to Dr. Phil Rocco, who is an associate professor of political science at Marquette University, about the potential implications of a Wisconsin flat tax, which the current proposal sits at 3.25%, and what that could mean for Wisconsin. And this isn't even before the flat tax, since I've moved home or moved back, there's been conversations around no income tax and what that could do. Mm-hmm. And there are some states, what is there, like 9 in total that have no income tax? But I think of, you know, Tennessee, Florida, Texas, I think Alaska, maybe Wyoming. But some of the states that can generate enough revenue otherwise to function without having an income tax. So what it kind of has to be in place, as far as you understand it, for a low to no income tax to work in a state?
Yeah. So like some states have deposits of natural resources that they can have franchise taxes on, right? I think about Alaska, you know, out west, there are states that just have naturally occurring resource that you can sort of tax and generate revenue off of that. Okay. Other states have booming industries that bring in people who don't live in the state as tourists frequently, and you can use sales taxes much more effectively there because, you know, you have such a kind of booming tourist industry in dollar terms, right? So what ultimately you have to do if you don't want to have an income tax is like one option is you have to have some other sort of resource there. It's like a special tax that you can just leverage. The other thing you could do is create a really regressive tax code, right? That where you're relying on taxes that mainly fall on people who are poor, or you know, working class, middle class folks, rely more heavily on property tax, which is something that states, you know, used to do. Wisconsin was one of the big pioneers in the early 20th century in 1911 in really moving the state to a progressive income tax because property is so hard to effectively and efficiently tax without, you know, a measure of corruption kind of getting involved there. So that was the big complaint about in the 19th century. It's really easy to hide property value and property wealth, especially back then. The other thing that you can do is just like slash services and just like, you know, make government a lot less effective at doing the things we expected to do. And that's something that you definitely see in states that don't have kind of effective income tax regimes. But I think the thing that ultimately, you know, is sort of happening in Wisconsin is, you know, essentially every time the state cuts taxes, and by the way, we are already at the lowest mm-hmm. level of tax collection, lowest rate of tax collection on record, right? That's how much taxes have come down since the 1990s. Like it is, we have really sucked out a lot of revenue in the state. And what that means, it's not like the demand goes away. It just means that either we're saying, you know, that we're not going to meet that demand, or we're pushing off the responsibility onto other levels of government, like local governments, or like, which is why you see so many bond measures and millage increases in school districts now, right? Because there's still demand. We still have to pay for things.
Yeah.
Unless you just want, you know, the basic services that we expect as a society just fall apart. And it's also, I think, why governments are in such a, local governments are in such a difficult position right now, an increasingly impossible one. And so that's the sort of bigger picture here. It's like, you know, it's easy to say or easy to sort of have this concept, like we're going to, you know, decrease taxes, step three, profit, right? The South Park underwear gnomes. But I think the bigger thing is that like the population trends in Wisconsin are really emblematic of population trends across the country. Like people are moving from colder to warmer climates. Mm-hmm. That is not about taxes.
Yep.
Right. But then you look at Minnesota and it's like, why are people moving to that cold state, which in many cases is like colder than here even, and less so to Wisconsin. And I think one of the really important answers is that You have economic policies that have led to the growth of a thriving, you know, metropolitan region in the Twin Cities, whereas Wisconsin is really disinvested from the economic power, you know, potential economic powerhouses of the state. And I think about the UW system as like one big place that when you cut the UW system, you are cutting an engine of economic growth for the state. That's what you're doing. You can say that you are, you know, sticking it to, you know, quote unquote, like liberal professors and elites and so forth. But what you're doing is you're screwing over the economy of the state.
Yeah. So, I mean, what this all obviously comes down to what will be months from now, the final budget. But it feels like this would be a non-starter as far as something that Governor Evers would sign. But do you think that there's any room for a flat, any kind of flat tax, even if it was a little bit higher? Or do you think this is dead in the water?
No, I think this is based. It would be hard to say that this is not, you know, dead in the water. The question is, you know, how much, you know, how much do Republicans want to like press the issue and extend budget negotiations and go to the mats over this, right? Yeah. How long do they want the budget fight effectively to be? And I think, you know, one thing that is going to be interesting is how the narrative about the flat tax kind of spins out there. I think the thing that Republicans, the sort of advantage they, this sort of accrues to them in debates like this is that like not much information gets out there about what the flat tax is, because people are like, oh, it's a flat tax. It's simpler. It's, you know, easier. But the way of describing it is this is not a tax cut. This is a change in the way that we're using the power of government to distribute costs and benefits in society. And what this is going to do is redistribute benefits to the top income bracket in the state. And what it's going to mean for the rest of us is, you know, how are we going to fund highway construction? How are we going to fund schools? Mm-hmm. How are we going to do all the things that we need to do? And, you know, maybe you get like 200 additional bucks, you know, if you're at the right part of the income distribution and like—
That you're probably going to be spending on a sales tax anyways.
Yeah,
that'll exactly. just go immediately to the increases.
Or property taxes. Property taxes, which continue to go up, right? Somebody pays somewhere.
Exactly. All right. Well, Dr. Phil Rocco, thank you so much for joining us and explain and breaking this down for us. I told at the break that Kansas story is really something, and so making a little bit more noise about that, I think, would be good.
It's
but
wild.
We will have you back soon. Thank you so much for your time, sir, and have a great
good
day.
Be with you, as ever.
All right. Take care. We are going to go to the top of the hour news, and when we come back, thanks again. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Sucker, I ain't one. From now on, I'm keeping my pay. Ain't gonna need no. So put your 1044 where the sun don't shine. Straighten out your own damn mess. You can write me off, cause I ain't giving a dime to the
Are you dreading going into work every day? Do you want a career where you can earn more and feel appreciated? If you answered yes, then Sigma Castings, a division of Sigma Engineered Solutions in Marcus Ann and Jackson, is your answer. They are more than a company. They are a family of dedicated experts that span the continents. Here are a few ways they make you feel appreciated. Entry-level pay is $18 an hour with regular performance reviews. After 90 days, you get 80 hours of vacation plus 11 paid holidays. They will give you a $2,000 sign-on, stay-on bonus. They offer a robust benefit package with low premiums and great coverage, and their 401k will blow you away. Now hiring first shift, Monday through Friday, 5 a.m. till 2 p.m. Start your new career today at Sigma Castings in Markazan and Jackson. Find them on Indeed or call 920-260-8560 and wake up happy to go to work.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.